Welcome, everyone, to a new episode of The Tap. I am your host, author Andrew Hess. Today, I am flying solo, bringing to you Survivor Series. I'm going to count down up to this coming Survivor Series, and right now, we're going to be covering actually four of them pretty quickly. And the reason why they're going to be quickly is because, honestly, they were all at the original set of Survivor Series were always either five-on-five elimination tag team matches, or it became four-on-four up until 1991. So I'm going to be covering from 1987, which was the inaugural Survivor Series, all the way through 1990 today, just to kind of bring you some of this, some of the information from it, and kind of give you a little bit more insight as much as I can when it comes to it. So we're going to kick it off with 1987. Gorilla Monsoon, Jesse the Body Ventura were your announcers during this time. So the very first match, 1987, featured the Honky Tonk Man leading the charge with King Harley Race, Hercules, Ron Bass, and Dangerous Danny Davis, taking on the team of Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, Jake the Snake Roberts, and the Macho Man Randy Savage. I don't really remember too much of the backstory for why all these guys were really wrestling each other. I know Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Harley Race had been feuding over the crown. And I know Savage and Honky Tonk Man had been feuding over the Intercontinental Championship at this point, where Honky Tonk Man had taken the title from Savage. The sole survivors from this match ended up being Macho Man Randy Savage, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Jake the Snake Roberts. The next one was actually the first, and for a long time, the only women's Survivor Series match, which featured the Glamour Girls. Sorry, hold on. I was actually double checking myself on that one because I thought there was actually another one, but I could be wrong. Nope, I was right. So it was the Glamour Girls, Dawn Marie, not to be confused with the ECW version, Donna Cristinello, and Sensational Sherry versus Velvet McIntyre, Rockin' Robin, the Jumping Bomb Angels, and the Fabulous Moolah. Jumping Bomb Angels were the sole survivors from that match. Honestly, didn't miss much. The next one was actually a tag team one. So it was five tag teams on five tag teams. So if one person from your tag team got eliminated, your entire team did. For this one, it was the Bolsheviks, which was Ivan Koloff and Nikolai Volkov, Demolitions, Axe, and Smash, the Dream Team of Dino Bravo and Greg the Hammer Valentine, the Islanders, which was Haku, and I didn't catch the other Samoan's name, and then the Hart Foundation, Bret Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart. They took on Strike Force, Tito Santana and Rick Martel, the Young Stallions, Paul Roma and Jim Powers, the British Bulldogs, Davey Boy Smith and the Dynamite Kid, the Rougeau Brothers, Ray and Jacques Rougeau, and the Killer Bees, Brian Blair and Jim Brunzel. The final teams that won were the Young Stallions and the Killer Bees. We next roll into the team captained by Andre the Giant. It was Ravishing, and this was your main event. It was Andre the Giant, Ravishing Rick Rude, King Kong Bundy, Butch Reed, and the One Man Gang, taking on Team Hogan. It was Hulk Hogan, Bam Bam Bigelow, Ken Patera, Don Morocco, and Paul Orndorff. We didn't know if we could trust Orndorff at this point because he had just turned face recently. And this continued the Hogan and Andre feud that had been going on as well. So Andre the Giant was actually the sole survivor from this match. And surprisingly, it was not Hulk Hogan who was the final participant against Andre. We move into 1988. Gorilla Monsoon, Jesse the Body Ventura were your announcers. This one was the interesting one, really, for a little bit of it. So here we had the Honky Tonk Man leading the charge with, again, Dangerous Danny Davis, Greg the Hammer Valentine, Ron Bass, Bad News Brown. They took on the team captained by the Ultimate Warrior. And now this is actually right after the Ultimate Warrior had won the Intercontinental title from the Honky Tonk Man at SummerSlam. His team was Jim Brunzel, Sam Houston, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, and the Blue Blazer. So it's actually kind of weird to see when Owen Hart had been the Blue Blazer at this point and had had his debut in the WWE. This wasn't the actual debut, but this had been the year of his debut, really. And the sole survivor from this match was the Ultimate Warrior. Then you had the tag team one, Brainbusters, the Rougeau brothers. Brainbusters were Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard. Rougeau brothers, the Bolsheviks, the Conquistadors, who I never really understood them or who they were, and then Demolition of Axe and Smash. Here you took on the Powers of Pain, which was Warlord and Barbarian, the Young Stallions, the Hart Foundation, the British Bulldogs, and the Rockers. Powers of Pain were the last team standing. And this actually was when Mr. Fuji had managed Demolition, and he turned on Demolition during this match to join with the Powers of Pain. This set up a nice little feud over the tag team titles for quite a while. Then we roll into, it was Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Jake the Snake Roberts, Tito Santana, Ken Patera, and someone named Scott Casey. I have no idea who that is. They took on Andre the Giant's team with Andre, Dino Bravo, Ravishing Rick Rude, Mr. Perfect, and Harley Race, with Mr. Perfect and Dino Bravo getting the win, despite the fact that Andre had actually been taken out prior to the match. He was taken out right at... He got eliminated pretty quick. I'm actually getting the one that he got eliminated right away on confused with the 89 Survivor Series, sorry. And then finally, we had the Mega Powers versus Ted DiBiase's team. So you had Hulk Hogan, Macho Man Randy Savage, Hercules, Coco Beware, and Hillbilly Jim taking on Ted DiBiase, the Red Rooster Terry Taylor, Haku, Akeem, and the Big Boss Man. And the finals, the survivors on this one were the Mega Powers. Here's the thing, that before I go into the other set of two shows, here's the thing that I kind of found when with the original Survivor Series. I liked the concept of the original Survivor Series with the eliminations. I found it a little bit more interesting and entertaining when watching these back in the later era of things, because you can see where the actual rivalries were. The beginning ones, I feel like they were really kind of slapped together. They didn't really make as much sense. There were some people who were feuding with the others, but not everybody on that team. Whereas when you get to the later Survivor Series, I feel like that they actually had a little bit more meaning behind them. And then later, even later, when it comes to Survivor Series matches, I feel like you run into the issue where they became non-existent. And it was more about the singles matches and the tag team matches than the actual Survivor Series match itself. I feel like that kind of went away around 98, 99 was when the Survivor Series matches kind of left for a while. And it was just the Survivor Series pay-per-view. And then fans really were adamant that they wanted the Survivor Series matches back. And that's what brought them brought back to it. Let's pick back up 1989. We had Gorilla Monsoon and Jesse the Body Ventura. This one had your first match was the Big Boss Man, Bad News Brown, Rick the Model Martel, and the Honky Tonk Man. And this is when we're down to 4-on-4s. They took on the team of Brutus the Barber Beefcake, Tito Santana, the Red Rooster, and Dusty Rhodes. I know in this one, I know Dusty Rhodes had a small feud going between Big Boss Man, and he also kind of feuded a little bit with Bad News Brown. Tito Santana and Rick Martel had a feud going because they were formerly Strike Force. So it was had a little bit of a feud going in to kind of determine this match. Your winners were Dusty Rhodes and Brutus the Barber Beefcake. And afterwards, you had the Big Boss Man attacking Dusty Rhodes again, hitting him with a nightstick and then trying to handcuff him to the ropes. Brutus Beefcake making the save at that point, and along with other referees. Your next match had Bret the Hitman Hart, Rugged Ronnie Garvin, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and Hercules taking on Macho King Randy Savage, Earthquake, Dino Bravo, and Greg the Hammer Valentine. This one was kind of a slaughter, essentially, because it was the only person who got eliminated from the winning team was Greg the Hammer Valentine. So this left the Macho King Randy Savage, Earthquake, and Dino Bravo with the win. Next up, we had, which was really probably the main event, even though it wasn't listed as the main event, was Ted DiBiase's team against Hulk Hogan's team. Hogan was the WWF champion at this time. You had Ted DiBiase, Zeus, Barbarian, and the Warlord taking on Hulk Hogan, Jake the Snake Roberts, and Demolition. Demolition against Barbarian and Warlord continued their tag team feud for now over a year at this point. Hulk Hogan and Zeus had been feuding since Macho Man brought him in prior to SummerSlam that year. They were focusing on No Holds Barred. Hogan and DiBiase were kind of feuding because DiBiase wanted to be world champion and couldn't. So this is why he had the $1 million title. Your sole survivor from this match was Hulk Hogan. Your next match was Mr. Perfect, the Fabulous Rougeau Brothers, and Ravishing Rick Rude taking on Superfly Jimmy Snuka, the Bushwhackers, and Hot Rod Roddy Piper. Good match between them. I always liked seeing Perfect and Rude together. I will be completely honest with you. Every time I've ever had them in a video game together, I always team them up and call them Perfectly Rude. I always loved the idea of them being in the tag team, and I liked that even in WCW they actually had Kurt Hennig coming out and Rick Rude was his manager for a while. I just wish that they would have been an official tag team at some point during WWE or WCW days. I thought that would have been great, but sorry for the side note on that one, but that was like a team that I really wanted to like actually have as like a official team in WWE or WCW. And I think that would have been great, especially as tag team champions, if they had been. Unfortunately, that never really came to pass. Any which way, I digress. And your sole survivor for that match was Mr. Perfect. Then we had the official main event match. It was supposed to be Andre the Giant, who got taken out, and Bobby the Brain Heenan was the replacement. So it was Bobby the Brain Heenan, Haku, and the Brain Busters, Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard, taking on the Ultimate Warrior, Jim the Anvil, Neidhart, and the Rockers. Your sole survivor in this match was the Ultimate Warrior. Survivor Series 1990 was probably the one that really set the new tone of what to go through. It started to focus a little bit more on the actual feuds. You had a ridiculous moment, which I can only assume was Vince McMahon's idea, which being the gobbledygooker. And you had the debut of someone who changed the landscape of professional wrestling for, oh God, how many decades now is this? 2010. So for over three decades, this man, The Undertaker, had changed the landscape of professional wrestling with his gimmick and with his wrestling style and the way he just kind of kept the storylines going. So we'll get to that part in just a little bit. Your announced team was Gorilla Monsoon and Hot Rod Roddy Piper this time. again, I already mentioned about the gobbledygooker. I'm not giving it that much focus because that was the most ridiculous segment I have ever seen, ever. And I'm not giving it any more than that. Your first match was Mr. Perfect and Demolition. Now, at this point, you had Axe Smash and Crush as part of Demolition, taking on the Ultimate Warrior, the Texas Tornado, and the Legion of Doom. At this point, you had the Legion of Doom feuding with Demolition, especially after what happened at SummerSlam that year, where the Legion of Doom got involved in the 2 out of 3 falls match between the Hart Foundation and Demolition, costing Demolition the tag team titles. So this kept their feud going a little bit more. Mr. Perfect and the Texas Tornado had been feuding over the Intercontinental title also around that time. And then actually, it was actually at that SummerSlam that they had that Texas Tornado had won the title, and then Mr. Perfect had won it back shortly after. And the Ultimate Warrior and Mr. Perfect had also a small feud going at that time. Your sole survivor for that match was the Ultimate Warrior. Your next match was, I wanted to, oh, for some reason, I always thought it was a complete slaughter, and I felt like the entire team, except for Undertaker, had won. But in watching it back, I realized that that wasn't the case. So you had Coco Beware, the Hart Foundation, which was Bret and Jim Neidhart, and then Dusty Rhodes taking on Rhythm and Blues, who was Honky Tonk Man and Greg Valentine, Ted DiBiase and their mystery partner, who became the Undertaker. And Undertaker dominated this match in the early goings. He eventually just got counted out. Hart Foundation had tried to mount a comeback with it all. Same with Dusty. It came down. The sole survivor for this match was Ted DiBiase. But this gave birth to the Undertaker's gimmick and a big time career. Your next match was Rick the Model Martel, Power and Glory, which was Paul Roma and Hercules, and the Warlord, taking on Jake the Snake Roberts, the Rockers, and Superfly Jimmy Snuka. Honestly, I don't really remember too much of this feud. I remember Power and Glory and the Rockers feuding, really. Oh, actually, I believe this was the area where Rick Martel and Jake the Snake Roberts had been feuding, which eventually led up to their WrestleMania match for the blindfold match. Your winners were Power and Glory, Warlord, and Martel. It was a clean sweep on that one. Your next match was Earthquake, Dino Bravo, Haku, and the Barbarian taking on Hulk Hogan, Tugboat, who later became Typhoon, the Big Boss Man, and Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Your sole survivor being Hulk Hogan. Hogan, Tugboat had been feuding with Earthquake and Dino Bravo for some time now. I really don't know where Haku, Barbarian, Boss Man, and Hacksaw really came into play for this feud overall, but I know that Hogan and Earthquake had been having a long-standing feud, and the same thing with Earthquake and Tugboat as well. Dino Bravo was always Earthquake's second at that point. Hogan got the win. The final match before the main event was Tito Santana, the Bushwhackers, and Nikolai Volkoff taking on Sergeant Slaughter, the Orient Express, and Boris Zukov. So at this point, you had Boris Zukov and Nikolai Volkoff feuding with each other. The Orient Express and the Bushwhackers had been feuding. Tito Santana had been just kind of slightly feuding with Sergeant Slaughter. Sergeant Slaughter had been doing his heel gimmick at this point. Tito Santana got the win, and this set up the stage. Now, the one thing that I failed to note earlier in this was the first time and the only time that they did the winners of every Survivor Series match had to compete one more time in the main event match. So this put it as Power and Glory, Rick Martel, Ted DiBiase, the Warlord, taking on Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, and Tito Santana. Tito Santana got eliminated early in this match, and then it was up to Hogan and Warrior to fend off against five guys actually, sorry, two, three, four, six guys, sorry. And Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior pulled off the win. And this was setting the stage now for what would end up being another powerhouse match. Really dominating display from both men in the lead up to the 1991 era. So I believe at this point you had Ultimate Warrior who was running in as the champion, and then this led to eventually Macho King Randy Savage trying to get a match against the Ultimate Warrior, leading to Sergeant Slaughter taking the title. That is it for right now. I promise that the next ones will be a little bit more entertaining, because you're going to have the next one is the 91 Survivor Series, which is where the first WWF title match takes place at a Survivor Series. So we'll get into that next week. Thank you for joining our show. I am author Andrew Hess, and find out what's next on The Tap.